I can become a de-optimization specialist.
That would be a good idea. How little interest can I actually have in my present life?
Well, I got a response from George. He seemed excited about David Hume.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah.
Said the founding fathers based all their shit on Hume. Who knew?
Oh, okay. You mean the engineers of our bright and moral sustaining democracy?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
What happened? It got dehumed?
Yes, it got dehumed.
We must have become dehumed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh well. We need another rash of bright philosophical minds to steer the nation in a different direction, more ethical direction.
Yeah, maybe Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. That would be good. You know, I was noticing how, like, all the trouble happens during the day while everyone's awake. But it seems a lot less trouble occurs at night when everyone's asleep.
What kind of trouble are you referring to?
Well, like emotional trouble and violence and, you know, arguments and things like that. You know, worries and concerns and being preoccupied with stuff. All of that froth, you know, all of that white water, right? White caps. It's all happening like during the day.
Yeah.
And then it's just like kind of flatlines at night when all the humans are, you know, sleeping. It's like, where'd it go? All the stuff that we were all agonizing over and ruminating and over and arguing about during the day, just kind of disappeared.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much if you're lucky. Maybe it would be better if we had really short days, you know, like an hour or two.
Well, if we moved
out. That's what I go for, and then I'm just trying to sleep the rest of the time.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, like an hour or two, just enough time to groom, get a meal in, you know, maybe make a phone call, a really necessary phone call, and then just take your clothes back off and lie down again.
Well, if we were in Alaska or Scandinavia or something.
Oh, yeah, this time of year, that's right. Yeah, probably a lot less trouble there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for all the suicides and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they just find their way to the local bar and fight or something.
Yeah, they have, pretty high homicide rate, I think.
I think humans they do the homicide rate in the dark, long periods of darkness.
Well, I mean, at some point I read that, but I have no idea. That was years ago.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I just made it up, I don't know.
You could have, yeah.
I could have.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Most facts are like that. Yeah. Hey, tell me something that's true. Yeah, it's kind of like Monty Python. Brontosaurus is really thin at the front, then they get really wide in the middle, and then thin again at the tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to wonder what you know, what a philosophical pursuit is about, what a spiritual pursuit is about. You know, what's its aim? Right? What is it that we're trying to optimize or maximize or satisfy? And why do we envy people that claim to have, miraculous or formidable powers or experiences? like, whoa, cool. You know, what do we, it's like, what does one want?
What do we want?
Oh. You know, an end of something, a beginning of something, a different way of looking at life or experiencing things. Glee, abandon, you know, I don't know. Spiritual insight. Clever retort.
Glee and abandon.
Huh?
I said glee and abandon sound good, but I didn't hear what Francine said.
Nothing. It was like the most shallow thing possible.
More sleep, she said.
No, I said longer supply of money.
Oh, endless supply of money. Yeah, well, that's right.
Maybe that's just like a given.
Or that feeling you get right before you fall asleep, when you know you're going to go to sleep.
Mm. Yeah.
Or when you know you're going to get to eat really good pizza or something, you know, and you're really hungry.
That could do it, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you wonder, you know, people come together and from time to time in small groups or video conferences on the web or something, and it's like, yeah. Yeah, how do you start or launch a conversation that's supposed to be relevant to people? You know, biographical tidbits seem silly and indulgent, and if you start promulgating some kind of, you know, spiritual truisms and throw them in people's faces, then that's, you know, it's kind of like a lecture.
Mm.
You know, so you're, I mean, just to be as, I don't know, as authentic about it as one can be, you know, what's the prevailing interest or the prevailing motive in, you know, studying Buddhism or yoga or doing the work or.
I really just don't know what to do with myself at this point.
Yeah.
You guys are it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty sad day.
Yeah. I mean, I played Wii tennis with Kevin before I came up here, but
oh, good.
That was the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then bothering people via email and
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
I was doing dinosaur puzzles. That was really important, actually. It was hard to pull myself away.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is a dinosaur puzzle?
Not sure why I did it.
Like a jigsaw puzzle, or is it something you do on the internet?
No, a jigsaw, like an actual puzzle. Several different puzzles.
Are they like yeah. those? They're really big pieces, so it's easy to find where everything goes?
No, I purposely got all the smallest ones.
Oh, cool. That's so a good idea. I better go get one of those.
Did you go and purchase these dinosaur puzzles?
At the thrift store.
Oh, nice. They were at the thrift store?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. So they have like a 1,000-piece puzzle, that kind of puzzle?
Yeah, I got like a bunch of different kinds.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. Sounds like
there's some cool artist that apparently takes puzzle pieces and makes these really cool portraits.
Oh, I see. Paints with them.
Yes.
Let's see.
Nice. Yeah, I had a friend, an artist in New York that would painstakingly cut colors out of magazines, you know, small pieces of images. So the image was gone. It was just, you know, a color blotch.
Yeah.
And then he would paint really wonderful, you know, pieces with, you know, basically mosaic color blocks from magazine clippings.
Oh my God. I see this stuff and I just think it's amazing. And I'm like, I just don't have the patience to do anything.
Mm.
I'm just like, I don't care that much. I like start to do it. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad that guy had the effort to do it because I like it. But
Yeah.
I'm trying to think when you're like young and you don't really have there were no video games when I was young, so there were things we made up to do, but I don't know. I have to go back to that, I guess, or something. I don't have enough to do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not enough.
I could get another job, I guess.
Yeah, well, you never really replaced your, Tuesday and Thursday thing?
Well, there's a job that I keep postponing. I keep wanting the paperwork, and I'm like, well, I keep postponing it because I don't know if I want to commit myself to anything.
Yeah.
But then today, I just feel like...
Don't commit yourself to anything.
Don't commit, yeah. I don't commit myself, but, you know, like, I wandered around the house and really didn't do anything today, so...
Wow. It sounds like a Jean Klein kind of day.
But I wasn't in some sort of like bliss or anything.
Now, how do you know?
Making love to a rainbow or anything, you know? It's just like checking my email a lot. And
yeah.
Taking a nap and avoiding my mother's phone calls. I mean, it was...
That sounds like plenty.
Eating popcorn. It was like the longest day of my life. I mean,
that was a long day. Yeah. A long day of idle indifference. Well, so there you go. You had your dark night of the soul. Now you can write a book.
If that's what a dark night of the soul is.
Yeah, they're pretty light.
I've had a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're pretty regular.
Yeah. An idle day with nothing really going on.
Yeah.
Pretty dark. Yeah. Yeah, I might have done one or two things today.
What were your one or two things that you did?
Had a nice cup of Earl Grey tea.
That's nice.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was good. Now I'm having a blue moon. That's good.
That's nice. I mean, I did read a little Jean Klein, like a paragraph today.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Was it a good one?
Usually, yeah, there's like these nice little tidbits, and then it's like, now I need to take a nap. In fact, here it is. Why does the body become sleepy when the mind is quiet?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe there's a, what would you call it, a phase of quiescent indifference where you're just not chomping at the bit for, you know, something to remedy your condition, right? You just kind of chill back from insisting that there be a remedy or something novel or something magnificent that should occur to you. Then you have, this kind of ordinary rhythm. You're not really sure what's, meaningful, and you don't have all that much interest in creating some extra drama just for the, thrill of it. You have to get, in a sense, accustomed to yourself, being undriven. Whether there's the presence of all too familiar neurotic patterns that are placing some kind of demand on me, demand on my experience or demand on my consciousness that it should be different, it should feel different, it should look different, I should be applying myself somehow, secularly or spiritually to, enlightenment. What if that's not the case?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's always that, you know, this invitation, which it turns out to be you. You know, you are the invitation. It's not like something comes in the mail or flits in through the window. You are the invitation, your own consciousness, your own presentation, your own sensitivity is the invitation. And so what you do with it, meaning what you do with yourself as the invitation, is kind of a curious adventure, a curious discovery. It's like we're conditioned to think that, you know, doing, planning, having, being, constructing, catching up on to-dos, right, is what we should be doing with our time, with our daylight hours.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not sleeping, which is the real life.
That's so dumb.
It's just,
dude, I was thinking about what you said the other day. I was walking down the street today. I'm like, I'm a giant primate on Earth, apparently. You know, we are like the nothing's trying to eat me. Why am I walking around in like a bizarre, like, fear? You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, really, you know, the daytime, that's like, you know, that's when the panic begins. Everyone suits up and goes into their, you know, panic place. You know?
Yeah, it's the opposite of the horror movies where the nighttime is the scary time.
Yeah.
It's really the daytime.
Yeah, the daytime is like, whoa, there's monsters everywhere.
Yep.
I know. You know, I mean, people go to these and, you know, enlightenment meetings and stuff, and what are they doing there? What are they asking, you know? I want to be like you. I want to be like you, Dad. I want to be just like you. And the cats and the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue, man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad.
When do I get to be enlightened like you, Dad?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like all these enlightenment meetings, it's like we should probably just be singing the cats and the cradles and the silver spoon. You know, I want to grow up to be just like you, Dad.
Just like you, Paul Hederman.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Carve off half your leg. You know, drink.
Fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of interesting. You know, it's like, oh, thank God I have I have a program to go to, you know. Thank God I'm signed up for this retreat. Thank God, you know, I'm started, you know, Vipassana correspondence course with, you know, Joseph Goldstein or one of his, you know, offspring. His bastard offspring. You know, I got a job and I'm going to do stuff, you know, I'm going to write and I'm going to do accounting and inventory and operate a crane and make money and drink beer and in a bowling alley and vote for Trump. What?
No, absurd. It's just all absurd.
It is pretty weird that way. Yeah. You know, so we're looking for the crescendo event, you know, a life-changing event called self-realization or enlightenment, which will convert all of our misanthropic sorrow into something, you know, fun.
Mm-hmm.
What? And then we end up, you know, talking about philosophies and practices and famous enlightened people from the past and, you know, what's happening with Jeff Foster and Muji and, you know, what's on Batgap this week. You know, someone that wraps their penis in a pretzel and wears a snake on their head.
Really?
Yay!
I gotta tune into that. No,
I've
never seen anything that interesting on that show.
I know. So it's just, it's useful, I think, to do kind of a double take or a reconsideration of what's motivating us? What are we interested in? You know, and then how do I justify what it is that I think that I'm interested in? I'm going to get it. You know, I'm going to get it at all cost. I won't quit until I'm realized. You know, I will wander the earth and grab gurus by the ankles and not let them go until they give me the magic potion. Huh? Delusion is bad. Clarity is good. It's like, delusion about what? Clarity about what exactly? Right?
Well, just the words themselves, like looking at each word, like what, like when you say a word, what it actually represents to you, if you kind of go into that. I mean, it's really interesting. It's like, I have no idea. It's just so bizarre, you know?
We don't really know how to characterize or even occupy our present experience except through some kind of random assignment of meaning or justification or utility or lack thereof. Or nourishment or malnourishment, or being sanguine or restless. It's like, what the hell? I think that's, you know, that's kind of a fun portal is, let's say breaking down enough that we, let's say we encounter a cogent interruption in our need or insistence for meaning or utility. Because if we're always driven by meaning or utility, you know, the usefulness of what we've decided to do next, whether it's a dinosaur puzzle or avoiding our mother's phone call.
Yeah, anything will turn into like a, I mean, yeah, seems like the second you frame it as like a person in time who's trying to be somebody or something or obtain something, it's like.
That's it. I mean,
the whole felt sense just shifts to some fucked up.
Yes.
Like, yes. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yes. Exactly that. The whole felt sense of present experience will shift in curious ways when we relax or just simply withdraw from the habit of utility or the habit of, you know, meaning, the habit of some kind of essentialism. What if this moment is not essential, that it doesn't mean anything? That it doesn't become anything, that it's not necessary to, you know, live in it or as it, insisting on some kind of utility or meaning, takeaway, something to recall, a great experience to remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see that, you know, that drive, that kind of weird schizophrenic drive that this is about something, it means something, it becomes something, hopefully that will include me, I can shape or influence it somehow, I can make, you know, interesting choices about how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, how I'm feeling about that, what I'm, right? It's just incessant. It's incessant. And that, you know, habit, you could say, habit formation, habit fermentation, which insists on relevance, meaning, utility, continuity, takeaway, having accomplished something, small or otherwise. I mean, we become a little bit strange when we are not driven by these, you know, subliminal psychiatric forces. You know, if you really, really just fuck off from any meaning, any utility, any essentialism, any centrism, to make it appear as if your life and how you conduct your life is, you know, important. Your life and how you conduct your life is not important.
And that's the good news.
And that turns out to be the good news. Yeah. You see, because even when we go to, you know, the master, whoever it is, whatever spiritual celebrity, you know, maybe giving away, you know, trinkets, you know, what is that called when they throw stuff at you?
Party favors?
Yeah, spiritual party favors. Yeah.
Fairs.
Prasad. In the, you know, Hindu yogic culture, prasad, you know, the guru gives out prasad, prasadam. And oftentimes that's like, you know, if there have been fruit offerings, you know, fruit and other kinds of offerings as part of a, you know, a worship ceremonial fire, you know, offering things up to the goddess or whomever. And going through, you know, a prayerful purification, repetitive ritual of some kind with Sanskrit incantations and interesting finger movements. And then everyone gets a slice of the, you know, the offering that was given. That's how that works, you know. You get a little something. You get a little something. When the, what's his name, was touring, the Shiva Bali Yogi, this is before Swami Ken. You know, Swami Ken's teacher, I guess, the marshmallow guy, the big guy. You know, he would throw candies, right? Tootsie Rolls or whatever.
Tootsie Rolls.
Hey, you get what you get.
Like Halloween.
Yeah.
Or that guy, that comedian who used to throw things. I don't know.
Gallagher? Smashing water.
Either Gallagher or that guy who was a little kind of a feminine. He used to do that back in the 70s. I can't remember his name.
Oh. I don't remember.
He had like kind of a bouffancy here. Can't remember his name though. He was funny.
Yeah.
Like on the Merv Griffin show or something.
Oh. Bouffancy hair. Yeah. Okay.
I'll think of it.
He threw things to the audience?
He would come in and throw confetti. Like,
oh, all right.
Yeah, but not candy.
Yeah.
I forget. Well, the Catholics used to sell, like, things, right? You could buy things that would help your spirituality or your purification or something.
You know, what it turns out, I mean, if it turns out that helping your spirituality is really just an invitation to completely fuck off, you know, it might be a little easier to get there than we imagine. I mean, even if we hear about enviable experiences coming from somebody else, you know, some kind of adept or enlightened person or whatever the fuck. I mean, that just creates like another wave of, you know, another wave of envy, another wave of desire. Some other wave of, you know, curiosity or like, oh, that's so cool. You're so cool. I'd like to feel that way. You know, I'd like to come to your seminar. I'd like to spend 4 days with you in Massachusetts and, you know, go through the catharsis of everything so that I could, what, be like you? Doesn't it seem kind of counterintuitive? It seems kind of antithetical to what the fundamental, you know, messages, which is, hey, just fuck off and leave yourself alone. If you're going in search of a catharsis, you know, healing, forgiveness, the end of addiction, you know, all this shit that you could say is worth pursuing, it just keeps you in the loop, right? It keeps you in the loop of becoming, of utility, of essentialism, of, you know, having a reference. And then making your life about that, you know, about a new reference. Well, I used to be straight, but then my husband left me, and then, wow, I fell in love with a woman, and then I started reading David Hume, right? You know what I mean? Then I met a guy, and then, you know, my life was miserable because I really couldn't find myself. I had no identity. I didn't know what to become. I didn't know what I was motivated to do, right? I mean, that's the realization. That's the realization when, you know, when the life breaks down and the social fabric, right? And the social expectation, the political expectation, the consumerist expectation, the religious, you know, spiritual expectation, it just goes 86. That's when you're having fun. Even though it may hurt, you know, it may hurt. I mean, it does. It creates incredible confusion for people. The being without appointments, being without, you know, meaning or justification or belief or how to conduct themselves or what to do next or what to fulfill, what to seek. It really messes us up. Is that Kevin still playing like Wii tennis down there?
You can hear him, huh? It
sounded like a cat doing something. That was Kevin.
He's probably playing against, you know, like Djokovic or something.
I think.
Does he yell at
him? I think it's Wii boxing now. He's playing Wii boxing.
Oh, Wii boxing.
That's him yelling at it.
Yeah, he's really getting into it down there. We haven't really grown up here.
So. That's what I was thinking today. I'm like, it's like 3 p.m. and I'm stoned and eating Raisin Bran. I've gotten really far in life.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
And then I'm going to go to the store and buy some dinosaur puzzles.
Wow, the audio feed pickup was pretty good that you could hear that. That's amazing.
Well, it sounded like a very enthusiastic shout.
Rip Taylor. That's what I was thinking of. Remember Rip Taylor?
Rip Taylor.
You don't know him?
No. I'm sure I would recognize him if I... Yeah.
Okay. All right. He looks like the guy from The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard. He looks like the Wizard from The Wizard of Oz. Remember The Wizard? Mm-hmm. With the big bushy mustache? And...
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember someone like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I heard things get quiet, so maybe he's done playing now.
Well, you know, we can sit around and drink beer in front of the TV, or we could engage, you know, in some kind of role play, like with Wii boxing. Mm. You know, why not? Yeah, we're kind of reflexively driven to sabotage to sabotage incoherency, blissful incoherency.
Mm-hmm.
We're wired, basically, to sabotage our own blissful incoherency. And then we run all over the place, you know, making demands on books and teachers and bookstores and all kinds of pundits so that we can enter back into some kind of, you know, fantastic myth. Rather than just fuck up and just drop into incoherence. You know, stop sabotaging your own incoherence with utility and essentialism, knowledge, making this about something. I mean, what actually interferes with your so-called natural state? Is this curious, you know, springing forth of an impersonal restlessness that operates, as you could say, you know, attraction and aversion, and a form of sabotage? You know, meditation seems a little too, in a sense, formal, you know. Meditation's a little bit formal or a little bit contrived. You know, whether a posture or a focus of attention or or a, you know, what do you call that when you put all your guru photos on a thing and you have a thing with a candle, an incense shrine, right? You make a little shrine. Yeah. It's like we don't think we're going to be nourished. You know, we don't think it's going to work out for us if we just completely fuck off. We think we have to, you know, do, struggle, mean something, correct something, fix something, mitigate something, acquire. You know. You want to know what the outcome of everything is going to be. Well, if I do this, what's, you know, I mean, what? What's going to happen? What do I get? Should I be afraid? No. Should I avoid a thing? Because if I do the thing, then an unpleasant thing will happen.
There's so many, like, embedded control dramas. It's just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit mm-hmm. just constantly pops up that I'm like, oh, that was another control drama. Like, I just, you don't, you're not even, like, aware. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, you're not aware.
I was thinking, what's going to happen if I just don't show up for jury duty? Like, what was I really going to do?
I don't know. They're coming to rescue.
Anybody ever do that? Or
why don't you just write it would be a serious financial hardship? That's what I always do.
Well, I do when I get there, but I think you have to show up to tell them that.
No, you just mail in a form.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or I think you can even maybe do it online now.
All right.
I'll look into it.
Just sit there and listen.
If you're mentally unstable or financially, it would be hard.
I mean, I'm an anarchist. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, just write that. Communist. Something like that.
I went to jury duty in California and they managed to sabotage, you know, every interview that they were throwing at me, you know, the judge and the whoever, you know, to see if I was eligible. And I would just make shit up, crazy shit. Like there was some Asian woman that apparently was given a second or third ticket for, you know, DUI. And now there was a, you know, I guess it why there was a jury trial. I have no idea. Maybe she was fighting it or something. I just told him that, you know, she reminded me of, you know, a former lover, and I just couldn't be partial. Funny, I saw her out in the hallway, you know, she just smiled at me. Hey, you're pretty good looking.
Yeah.
You weren't drinking, were you? Once this is over, why don't we go out for a beer?
I'll drive.
Well, the last time I went, there was a gigantic room, and they're like, "Does anybody have they ever known a felon?" I'm like, "Well, does a DUI count? Because like everybody I know has had a DUI, you know." And mm-hmm. they're like, "Yes." I'm like, "Well, yes, I know felons. Then, you know."
Got a bunch of them.
Got a bunch of them.
Yeah. Then if something, you know, like good happens, I don't know what that means though, then it's like, oh, we want that to last, or we want to know how to get back to good, or we want good to last. We actually think that we're interested in a destination. We fool ourselves into thinking that we would be okay, we would be better off, we would be happier if we had a destination and that destination turned out to be secure somehow. This is what we think we want. Like an endless flow of money. Which is not a bad thing. look at, not everyone, you can't know everyone, but look at all these people that are in industry and business and politics and, you know, the arts. That have, I mean, an endless flow of money. And they just wake up and, you know, they wake up and they put on their clothes and then they just start fucking with everyone and all the drama hits during the daylight hours. And, you know, these people are so rich, they probably create drama while they're sleeping. They can't even get a break from their own torture while they're sleeping.
Well, it seems kind of... Yeah, more money, more problems kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, what do we want?
Yeah.
You know, a pack of cigarettes and a friendly snowman to smoke them with.
That sounds good.
Hey, bud, care for another one? Sure.
I mean, it seems so boring to have that all kind of... Well, there's no contrast. It's just sort of like you can have whatever you want materially. That sounds terrible.
Okay. Well, there you go. So maybe there's a, you know, there's an interest or a thrill in contrast.
Yeah. I mean.
I hear you.
Not the kind of contrast where, like, you know, your house burns down every other day or.
Yeah, so of course now you want to be in control of the measure of the contrast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is kind of not that far from having an endless flow of money.
You think?
Well.
Yeah, it's like a thing about security is what it is, and however you frame that is, you know what I mean, arbitrary for everybody. However, you were abused growing up, yada, yada, yada.
Based on your abuse pattern, yeah. Based on your personal abuse pattern kind of influences what you call security.
Yeah. That would be what you're after.
I just don't want to be hit. Yeah. I don't, you know.
I just want to live in a padded house.
If you would just put your cigarette out in the ashtray and not on my arm, that would be cool.
I just don't want to spend time with any of them, that's all.
Uh-huh.
They can have the money. They can have whatever.
It's very revealing, you know, when we loosen up enough and just start feeling, you know, what do I think would make me happy? Am I happy? Am I not happy? Could I be? Should I be happier? What am I doing about it? What aren't I doing about it? Am I doing enough? Or if I'm doing anything at all, am I doing it right? You can see this just endless, right? Endless cascade of the attempts, feeble attempts at creating an enduring persona, an enduring condition that has something to do with, I don't know, me, my stuff, body, light, serotonin, you know, smooth GI tract. And then all of these curious ways that we frame our present experience or discover things that could or should or had better be better than what they are right now just changes so dynamically, you know, from moment to moment. I mean, like the thought of a cigarette's really great. And then after you light it up, you're like, no, this wasn't it. You know, but then you're like, you're overcommitted. You're already committed.
That's how I am. I was going to say, but I'm still smoking.
You know, it's lit. It's in my mouth. I may as well fucking smoke it.
Two weeks later, now I'm addicted.
It wasn't the optimal experience I thought I should get from lighting up that cigarette, but you know, it's lit. What the fuck?
Let's make it a lifelong habit.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's like, what's driving us, you know? What biological impulses and imperatives and, you know, seeking for somatic comfort, emotional comfort. What the fuck? And we go to what? An enlightened person? Because they're no longer driven by, you know, base desire, right? They're desireless, apparently. You know, Shinzen is desireless, I guess, so they don't suffer.
Maybe it took him 20 years to be able to sit in traffic when he was late. I don't know if you watched that video today.
Yeah, but I know. So
I'm like, if it took him 20 years to get to that point, like, what kind of hope is there?
There's no hope, yeah, right. Yeah, if it took a nerdy meditator like that 20 years to make the slightest bit of progress about anything, then
may as well forget about it. Yeah.
Forget about it. Mm-hmm. That's right. This is like cuisine enlightenment. Forget about it.
I'm just going to start carrying a gun in my car or something, you know?
Yeah.
Go full on road rage.
Some people do that, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You start unraveling the field. You know, people don't want their field unraveled. They want to believe that what it is that they believe is valuable and should be validated, and that they should be able to, you know, move, you know, so-called willfully, consciously, deliberately to in the direction they want to go. They feel they should go, right? But when you start unraveling the field, which means, you know, whatever textures are present in your experience, that's when there's a different level of, what would you call it, intimacy, different level of play. You start unraveling the unspoken or the hidden or, you know, the surreptitious motivators that are operating on you pretty much right about now. This way you're not taking anything at all for granted that may be appearing in your present experience. Nothing. You're not sure of anything. And you'll see how something rather profound shifts when you become consciously, you know, cooperatively unable to know what this is. The reason we say consciously, because if it's unconscious, then we're going to be operating through pattern and habit and assertion and avoidance. So therefore, that it's conscious, we're like, wow, I want to slow down enough so that I'm not operating out of habit and, you know, some kind of passive-aggressive.
Low-grade panic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't want to be motivated by a low-grade panic, right? I can want to see if I can.
I mean, this is behavioral, but it's so subjective. But it does seem like that low-grade panic is that's like where the least efficient. I mean, that's obvious. You take someone in a low-grade panic, and like anyone that's rushing around in a kind of anxiety manner is just obvious. They're not like there's no. I don't know. You're kind of like fumbly and all, you know, jacked up, and
that's the entirety of the culture.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you do.
Doesn't actually do anything.
You go. Well, that's why I said you're better off asleep, because all the shit hits the fan while you're awake. You know, keeping appointments. You know, you go into an environment where you're participating in some kind of role play, and everyone is in an unconscious, you know, low grade panic. Mm-hmm. Portraying, you know, themselves through their persona, through their need, through their power, through their projection, right? Yeah, and this is all justified.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like a bizarre, just turns into a seemingly like a bizarre energetic bullying kind of thing.
Mm. Yes. That's right. And we try to remain just shy of you know, verbal or physical violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't take much. I mean, all you have to do is act a certain way that someone wouldn't be expecting, and they're like flipped out. That's it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of tenuous out there when you're, you know, meandering through the grocery store with, you know, upright locomoting bacterium functioning in a more or less low-grade panic. You know, which is what we call a good day.
Oh, good.
So it's more useful to unravel whatever strings, agenda, motive, insecurities, right, are lurking in your present experience that are, you could say, defining you or influencing you to behave or not behave a certain way. That's more fun. It's egalitarian, you know. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone being enlightened or, you know, whether they're conscious during deep sleep. I mean, okay.
No, it's like really, it seems like actually just really taking an interest in like what you are, like a serious interest, like pay attention, mm-hmm. You know, on a level that's just gets more and more intimate, it seems like.
Yes. Yeah. That's the weird discovery that as we burn off or withdraw from the superficial engagement vectors that seem to sustain our low-grade panic, then we discover, you know, a whole new, presently intimate portal of we don't know where this is going. Yeah. It's the unraveling of that conditioned, habitually conditioned pursuit energy, accomplish energy, self-diagnose energy. Where we just drop out from under the influence of the constituents of a low-grade existential panic. And got nothing to show for it. No one's going to say, oh, man, you... How'd you get so happy, man? I want to be like that. You know? Like, no. You're not out. You're not out to prove anything to anyone, you know? To demonstrate something, spiritual or otherwise. You don't have a story to tell about yourself, about your spiritual biography. You just don't have a fucking story to tell. It's pretty low key. You know, the falling away of the reflex of what will become of me, or the falling away of the reflex of what it is that's happening to me now. Am I optimally satisfied by the so-called choices I am presently making? Should I be making different choices? I mean, is Raisin Bran really where I want to be, or... You know, Cocoa Puffs.
You know, whichever one falls in my lap for free.
You know, I mean, once they started sugar coating those raisins, you know, and putting a slight glaze on the flakes, you're like, Raisin Bran. It's like, yeah, okay.
I know, because my mom gave me Raisin Bran. I haven't had it in a while. I was like, I don't really want Raisin Bran. And then I was like, damn, Raisin Bran got good.
See? Yeah. They spoofed it up.
Now I'm like, ooh, Raisin Bran.
Yeah, they turn Raisin Bran into cocaine like they do everything.
I know. It's funny because I was like, just kidding, what is in this? Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, sugar glaze on the flakes.
They're different.
Cereal's like one of those binge kind of foods, you know.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it too much to read the ingredients, so I was like, yeah. I'm not even going to go there.
Really? Yeah.
Want to know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what'd you have it with? Like almond milk?
Coconut milk.
Sweetened or unsweetened?
Oh, unsweetened, as bare bones as you can get.
All right, unsweetened like coconut
no
milk.
No natural flavors were allowed.
Right. Milk. Unsweetened coconut milk laced with cocaine. Crunchy cocaine, full of raisins.
Makes sense in my world.
Yeah. Really. Fantastic.
I just didn't want to have that much dairy.
I try to go low dairy when I'm amping up on cocaine.
Yeah, you don't want to be bloated when you're on cocaine.
No. No. It's silly. You see, nothing is nothing. It's not that something is something.
I don't know why we have to be human doings as opposed to human beings.
Yeah, there you go. That's the old phrase, right?
Yeah, the corny old.
Yeah.
Pop psychology.
That's right. You see, we think that something is something. Something is something, it becomes something, and then it becomes something again. Mm-hmm. And we have a hand in it. We have a hand in something becoming something. and we're thrilled by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as you unravel, it's like, this is nothing. Nothing can't become nothing because it's too late. It's already nothing. And thank God I don't have a hand in it. Folks want, they might want something as silly as liberation, you know, primarily as an ameliorative. Because this is something and I have a hand in it. But fuck it. You know, this being something and my having a hand in it, it's just not working. I'm not getting the satisfaction or the peace of mind or the, you know, the devilish curiosity that I, you know, really long for. The abandon that I long for. Because this is something. Something is something and I have a hand in it. It's fucking driving me crazy. But we just want the irritation of that to be ameliorated. We're not necessarily fond of the discovery that nothing is nothing and you don't have a hand in it. See, we still want to have a hand in it, but we want it to work out in some kind of satisfying manner. And that's what we, you know, that's what we pretend to do. I'll do this now. I'll do this. I'll do this. Maybe I'll get some work done because they're paying me to, but you know, now I'll do this, do this. Simon says, do this, do this. Simon says, do that. And that's okay. And I'm not putting anything down. It'd be silly to put anything down, right? There's no point in, you know, berating ourselves or berating anybody else for anything that appears to be showing up. We're just playing around with the plausibility of a very intimate derailment. The plausibility of a very intimate derailment. Nothing to write home about.
I mean, even all the so-called enlightened people seem to like to work.
Yeah, sure. You know, some of them.
Yeah, some of them. Some of those.
Like to work.
Your bronies out there. I'm sure
yeah, there's some. Yeah, you know, make money, help addicts. I don't know. You see, then you get into this weird myth of, I don't know, enlightenment as optimally engaged Buddhism. You know, optimally engaged, satisfying life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the optimally engaged, satisfying life. That's what I want enlightenment to bring to me. Yeah. Optimally engaged, satisfying life. Justified life. Comfortable life. Sufficiency. Financial sufficiency. Friendships. Playdates. Satsangs. You know. Some amount of intimacy with whomever. Right? That's what everyone's looking for. Hey, I want to be enlightened because I want to have an optimally satisfying life. Because I'm just very confused by my so-called, you know, default position, my default condition. Yeah. And it's also artificial, you know, because you see the so-called enlightened, you know, person in an artificial environment. Maybe on a throne.
Yeah, and they're usually in a pretty good mood for that session, they're not going to get up there and just be dicks for the most part. You know, like you don't get to see the range of however they actually behave.
Yeah.
So you assume, they're always like that.
Oh, yeah.
No, like on a stage doing whatever you would do to give a good talk. You're not going to get up there and just start being like
right.
a cranky asshole.
Yep.
I mean, maybe, but usually not, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You're giving it your best.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so there's something, you know, you could say it's kind of authentic, even though there's nothing authentic about anything. It's like not putting on airs for your audience, not putting on airs for yourself even. This is not about anything. It doesn't get better. It doesn't need to. It doesn't have to become satisfying. You know, even in the midst of some kind of eloquent presentation, you know, radiant presence or some such shit like that, you can see that, you know, the sublimity of it just pretty much goes over everybody's head, right? Because we remain inhabiting our experience as the person, right, as the discerner, as the becomer. Somebody that wants to get something from our, you know, spiritual adventure, that will learn something, will have miraculous experience. Maybe. Or will be free of fear and insecurity and irrelevance. But you see, even all of those motivating factors, freedom from fear and freedom from insecurity and freedom from irrelevance are all right, just strangely, arbitrarily assigned.
All of it is, and it just drops in. So, like, it's just, if you're paying attention to it, it's obvious how it just occurs. Like, you're just looking at a picture, even that's not, I don't know how to describe that, you know, but it's just too weird. Yeah, I don't know, just a camera panning is kind of a fun, you know, it's just so strange, and then you're just montaging it together.
That's right, yeah, montage, scrapbook and montage. That's how we build our persona, you know, that's how we build the apparent relevance of the present moment, or the what appears as if we're making choices of some kind, that we're discerning and deciding and we're evaluating data points, and then we're optimizing our right biologic presentation for the next whatever it is. You know, it's kind of like swinging in a business chair. It's soothing. It makes me just a little bit dizzy.
Autism or something.
I know. That's what we're really dealing with. We're dealing with this kind of like autism that so far we've been able to hide from everybody.
I don't have a swingy chair.
We'll get you one.
I have a hard, very stable chair.
I think we have an extra one around or something.
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm not rocking, I start to get a little nervous. It's fun. It's fun to be just, you know, normal and ordinary and weird instead of everyone being on their contrived best behavior in some kind of, you know, fucking public environment.
Well, this is a good place to let your freak flag fly.
Stupid. Yeah. I mean, it's just why
we're weird.
I'm so anti. I know. I'm like, I'm so weird.
We're weird, like we rock and we pull on ourselves and we go rummaging through the cupboards for something and, you know. we're so accustomed to, you know, the demands of adult role play. It's like, you know, we've kind of forgotten the playfulness of an undefended kind of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Where nothing has to happen. And nobody has to have an advantage. We're just goofy. I mean, you know, after everyone comes home from the satsang, they just end up, you know. reaching for the cocaine bran and the coconut milk and rolling on the floor, or, you know, a good game of solitaire, or, you know, a good episode of Downton Abbey or something. You know? Well, an hour ago, I was trying to convince everyone how enlightened I was, you know, and now I'm just like, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I'm not so sure I care. It's a lot different than sitting on some kind of throne, handing out, you know, wisdom notes for people to maximize their life experience. So fucked up. Slumber party awakening. Pajama song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I like
open bowls of like Tootsie Rolls, Raisin Bran, and beer.
I'm just going to turn my whole life into pajama song.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I usually wait to rush home to get my pajamas on, but I think I'll just start wearing them all day.
Yeah, there you go.
That might get me out of jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
You go. Just wear your pajamas.
Yeah, just wear your pajamas in with like a peanut butter sandwich stuck to your head.
That's it, yeah.
I'm footy pajamas.
Don't be like, just go home. You're
my teddy bear.
Just walk in yelling, guilty. Can we help you, miss? Guilty.
Yeah.
Time to break out all those nice guy t-shirts that we've been
talking about. Yeah, right. Right.
No, just wear like a cat t-shirt.
This isn't anything.
Innocent object.
If you wear that shirt and you show up, that's an immediate dismissal. That's funny.
This isn't like, anything. You're guilty.
You're good. You could go home.
Show me the criminal.
Well, you know, if he's guilty, that's good. But if he's not guilty, that's good, too.
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't really matter. I'm void sanctuary.
Traffic violation, hang them high.
Or not.
Beat him. He can wear a seatbelt up with his head.
There's no such thing as police brutality. I wish I had more for you. I really do.
What's your religion? Do they ask you that when you go down there?
They might.
I'm a Gnostic.
I'm an Italian. You can go.
I'm a Gnostic gnocchi.
Gnostic gnocchi.
You're dismissed.
I'm into alliteration. How about you?
I'm a Gnostic gnocchi with ganache.
I'm a Gnostic
gnocchi gnani.
Turns out it's the same root word.
Yeah, that's right. They're all the same. You are?
I like carbs and carbs, you know.
You belong to a mystery school. Gnostic gnocchi gnani. I like it.
We're only allowed to wear pajamas.
That's right. Yep. That's pretty enlightened shit right there. Like nothing needs to happen and nobody needs to know about it.